Inspire, connect, grow. National Garden Bureau is a nonprofit organization that exists to educate, inspire, and motivate people to increase the use of plants in homes, gardens, and workplaces by being the marketing arm of the gardening industry. The members are experts in the field of horticulture, and the information comes directly from those sources. And I'm talking today with Diane Blazek. She is the executive director of the NGB, and I want to thank you for joining me on Garden Bite.
Well, thank you. It's my honor to be here.
Well, and off the air, we were talking about what's what with AAS and NGB, and you were quick to say it's a sister organization that really sort of joined forces about 1972-ish to really market the new varieties. I've talked about All America Selections before, and the two, of course, make a lot of sense to have that synergy because you're both about the gardening industry and taking it to the home gardener.
You're right. Yeah, I mean you've defined it very well in probably fewer words than what I could have, but that's exactly what we do. Both organizations, we're both nonprofit organizations. We both try to promote the hobby of gardening, and we want to try to provide education and answer questions. So, yeah, it just makes sense to have both of us in the same same office. And in fact, All America Selections is a member of National Garden Bureau, and National Garden Bureau being a marketing organization, we also promote the AAS winners through the various programs that we do.
And there are a number of nurseries that are members of the NGB, correct?
Right. Our members range from like the originating breeders. These are breeding companies from all around the world that are producing new varieties for the home garden, all the way through to the brokers and the growers and the nurseries or garden centers to book authors or supply manufacturers. So that whole range of people are members and potential members of National Garden Bureau because we help them promote their products or their companies, whatever it might be, to both garden writers, garden communicators that are out there, as well as the home gardeners themselves.
So do you have separate then judges and separate trial grounds for some of the selections that you promote?
Yes. Under All America Selections, we do. It's kind of a strict, rigid process that we go through to approve judges. Mm-hmm. But we do have almost 80, 90 judges now that do the trialing for each of our trials. We have four different trials within All America Selections, and they are volunteer judges. Our trials are anonymous. So when the judges are looking at the entries, they have no idea which breeder submitted it. If they by chance work for a breeder, they are not allowed to give a score on certain entries if it comes from their own breeding company. Mm-hmm. So they just can't have, you know, any affiliation or any influence if it's from their own company. So that keeps it all impartial with the trials. So yes, it's we're separate, like we said, uh-huh. but we do hold hands a little bit.
Sure. And where are those trial grounds? You know, I mean, we're in the north, the frozen north, which, you know, this is the land of extreme gardening.
Yeah.
So where are they?
Well, they are all over. We go from as far south as like the tip of Florida down around the Miami Homestead area, all the way up north. And I should know this as far as the one furthest north, I think is in Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
So even though it says All America Selections, it really should say All North America Selections,
sure.
because we are very prominent in Canada as well as throughout the United States.
That is so cool. And how are breeders selected? What's the criteria for them to submit their varieties?
Well, it's actually not a difficult criteria. It's called new, never before sold. So really the only thing that we have in place before they submit it to our trials is that it has not been sold to the home garden market. You know, there's a commercial market, like maybe they're selling a tomato into the processing industry and it ends up in your ketchup or something like that. This is a totally different side. This is the home guarded market. So as long as that variety is new, has not been sold, then it's eligible to be put in our trials. And so that breeder looks at their pipeline of all these different new varieties that they're working on, and they decide which one goes into our trials. A lot of people think that we as an office or as our board, that we decide what gets trialed, and that's not the case. It's the breeders that decide what goes in. Then we give these varieties along with comparisons to our judges. And then they spend a growing season, growing, evaluating, testing, et cetera. Then they send us the score sheets at the end of the trial season.
Okay. And is there a cap on how many varieties are selected each year or how many entrants you have?
I think our judges wish we would cap it.
In fact,
we did lose a couple vegetable judges a couple years ago because, I started 8 years ago, and at that time we would get, you know, maybe 3 or 4 entries into our vegetable trial. Well, all of a sudden it exploded, and 1 year we had 32 entries into our vegetable trial. And, you know, if it's something like a pumpkin or a watermelon, that takes up a lot of space. And so we had a couple judges that it was either space or time that they said, we no longer can do this.
Yeah.
So we've had in the past 3 or 4 years, we've actually had to replenish those judges, which is not a bad thing. They were great judges. But when you bring new people into the fold, you know, there's that newness, that being naive.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is going to be so fun. They don't realize how much work it is because it is a volunteer job.
Yes.
But no, as a long answer to your question, we do not have a limit on how many are put in the trials, mm-hmm. nor do we have a cap or a percentage that have to win. Everything is judged on its own merit. So if we have 10 tomatoes and all 10 are exceptional performers, then we will give 10 awards. On the other hand, if we have 10 entries and none of them are great performers, which happened recently, then we have no tomato winners that year. And sometimes it's kind of growing conditions too.
Sure.
But no, there's no percent that we have to meet. There's no numbers that we start cutting it off. The only thing that's a cutoff is the deadline for entry.
And so you choose other plants aside from the AAS winners?
With the National Garden Bureau.
Yes, the National Garden
Bureau.
Yes, yes.
There's two major programs that we produce each year and market. One of them is called the New Plants.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one, we're typically working with the same breeders, the ones that are members. And, you know, nobody is going to put 100% of their varieties into All America Selections, but they still have some great new products that are out there. So this helps them market their new varieties to the industry and to the home consumers. So that's one program. And part of what we do, because AAS is a member of National Garden Bureau, the AAS winners get included in that new varieties.
Yeah.
So when you look at our new plants, new varieties, you're going to see the AAS winners, but you're also going to see a lot of additional products that have not been trialed by AAS.
Well, let's talk about some of those, the ones that are not AAS designated, because I have talked about those on Garden Bite previously. So share one of, or two or three of your favorites that are coming up for 2018.
Oh my goodness. Oh, it's so hard to
narrow.
Pick favorites. Well, one of the things that I really like that I'm seeing the industry do, you've probably heard about impatiens downy mildew.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, that's an issue, and it has left a gap out there. I just had lunch with my sister-in-law, and she says, what can I plant this year? You know, I have this shade, and I need stuff. So I feel like a lot of the breeders are working on things like that. So we have an extraordinary amount of begonias and coleus and other things like that are good for the shaded area that will bring color. So, I don't know. It's so hard for me to name any particular one.
Oh, sure.
It's like naming your favorite child.
Well,
but I like what I see the breeders doing. So I guess that would be the way of kind of naming some things that people should pay attention to.
And where would our audience find those, a list or that's coming up? Where do they look for that? And then how do they buy those? Are those plants yet? Are those seeds?
Good question. So first of all, you start with our website, which is, it's a very short, it's a three-letter URL, ngb.org. So it stands for National Garden Bureau. And because we're a nonprofit, it's .org. So ngb.org, when you go there, you see a new plants tab, and you click on that, and you can sort in many different ways. You know, anytime you go on the web, you can always sort, right?
Sure.
So you can sort there by the class, or you can just look at the most recent ones. You can click on 2018. So everything is there. Now, one of the requirements that we have is that these items have been introduced to the industry last year, which means that they are available at retail. But here's the deal. A garden center may say, oh, well, I live in an area and it's brand new construction, so I'm not going to carry any begonias because my clientele doesn't have a lot of shade trees, so they're not going to want anything that goes in shade. You know, so if I were to say, oh, just go to your local garden center, they're not going to have everything available.
Mm-hmm.
Some are propagated vegetatively from cuttings, and some are propagated from seed. So as far as what might be available online at online retailers, the seed items will, but there's a lot of online retailers that are selling plants also.
Oh, that's
so for that, there is a tab on our website that says Shop Our Members, and that's where you will go to an area that has all of our members that are doing online retailing. And then you can just click on any of those, and you can go there and click on new plants, and they will have probably not only these, but additional ones also.
And I have to say, too, that I love the website. There is, I was playing with it earlier today, and I also have used your year of for 2018 for the perennial, and I talked about the Coreopsis.
Yeah.
And you also have the year of... It's the annual, perennial vegetable.
And bulb crop.
And bulb.
Yes,
that's,
there's
yes.
4 year ofs.
And this year is the beet.
Yes, I know. I love that.
And you know what's crazy is, as a kid, I hated beets.
Yes, and a lot of people say that.
But boy, you grow them in a garden and it's a whole different experience.
It is, yeah.
What I liked about also that you have on the website is that recipes. So that was really fun. So I'm going to have to peruse that.
Right. There's so much that we try to provide. It's a brand new website. We launched it about a year ago.
Oh, wow.
Exactly, because it was a year ago March. Our old website was nice, but, you know, things continuously evolve, and depending on what people are looking for. So the new varieties is a major section, the year of, where we have fact sheets, pictures. Like you said, we've got recipes on the edible ones, and then we're also doing a blog now. So under the Discover tab, it says Inspiration, and that's our blog. So, you know, it's one of those dark holes that you can just get lost in, and you can spend hours on our website.
It's like going to a nursery in spring.
Yeah.
It's
like,
I may not come out for 5 hours. But, well, I do want to ask you one last question, because we're kind of running out of time. I know we could talk forever about this, but what are some of the 2018 gardening trends that you're seeing?
Wow. There's a lot of trends going on. Some of them may not be trends. Some of them may be here to stay. And, you know, and I probably sound like a Brooklyn record, but I think container gardening, it's been here. It's going to continue to be here. But I would say the trend that I've been seeing like the past 5 years, and it takes time to trickle all the way through, is that the breeders are breeding more compact plants specifically for containers because, let's just take a tomato. You know, it's like if you have an indeterminate tomato that's going to grow to 6 feet, kind of hard to grow that in a container.
Yeah.
But then you're getting the determinate ones that kind of spill over the edges. Well, it's perfect for a container. So that's one trend. Always they're breeding for disease resistance. They're breeding things that are going to make the home gardener more successful. And I love that. You know, why give them some plant that's finicky and hard to care for?
Mm-hmm.
So making the home gardener more successful, easier to garden, that's definitely one. Colorations. A lot more of the flowers that we're seeing now may have unique color patterns on them, and they may not even be stable. That used to be a very high priority to breeders, is stable colors. Mm-hmm. Well, now, you know, the whole ombre color theme, yes, that is actually being embraced in some of the new varieties that are coming out, because they'll say, oh, look, this blooms deep pink, and then it goes to light pink and then white, yes, as the flower ages. And that is a really cool thing that people are going crazy for. Mm-hmm. And the breeders are just shrugging, going, well, we could have introduced it 10 years ago if you didn't want the stable color in there.
Yep. Well, I have to say, too, I agree with you on the disease-resistant vegetables and plants, because I have a saying that is, the garden is no place to stress for success, but to soak up some sun and renew your spirit.
Oh, I like that.
And thank you. And I tell my audience that, you know, especially if you're new to gardening, sometimes when you can become so overwhelmed, and I know I don't want anybody to become overwhelmed. I want them to, mm-hmm, just get out there and have a blast.
I completely agree with you.
Oh, Diane, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add as we wrap this up?
I would, you know, I'm going to use that big athletic apparel logo or slogan and just say, just do it. Just try gardening. Just get out there. You know, those of us that have been gardening for years have probably failed more times than what a newbie would ever dream. So yes, that's okay. Just try it. Just do it.
All right. Diane, thank you again. Diane Blazek, she is the executive director of the National Garden Bureau, and I hope I get a chance to talk to you again.
I would love that. Let's make a point of it.
All right. Thank you.